Hello everyone, I'm Alex Woodley. I'm a postdoc working for Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Harrow, Ontario. Today I'm going to talk about seasonal variability of soil biochemical indicators on a long-term crop rotation experiment. So soil biochemical indicators are often used as an evaluation tool for changes in management practice, whether it be tillage, crop rotation, cover crops, fertilization. They're really a way to kind of evaluate changes, especially when we're looking at kind of the slower carbon pools, are kind of our first indication of how these management practices are affecting the soils. And there's a big push to link these biochemical indicators to soil quality and soil health, and somehow relate that to productive agricultural soils. And for this project, I wanted to step back and kind of look at the seasonal variation between these indicators before we can start making these linkages. So we did a simple study looking at that. And in terms of season variability, the questions really were, how do these indicators change over the growing season? Are there periods where the treatment separation is greater than others? Is the late fall take sampling between treatments a good time, or spring? Or do you have to take multiple samples over the year to really get the big picture of what's going on? So the site itself is located in Woodsley, Ontario. That's near Detroit. And it was done on a long-term crop and rotation study. I don't expect you to be able to read this. This is the layout of the crop and rotation. It was established in 2001 on a Brookston clay loam soil. And there's 17 crop rotations with each phase present in each year. The green is the soybean, yellow is the wheat or wheat with red clover, and the orange is the corn, and the white is a different type of grass plots. So the rotations include continuous corn, soybean, wheat, red clover, and rotations ranging from 2 to 4 years in complexity, with all these crops included in various patterns. The work I did looked at these six treatments, which is monoculture soybean, corn soybean, wheat red clover soybean. So the red clover is underseeded into wheat and then turned over in the fall. We have heavy clay soils, so we till in the fall and not in the spring. We have trouble with tillage in the spring, so that's kind of typical in this area. We then also had wheat, soybean, soybean, and wheat, red clover, soybean, soybean. So the soils were sampled 9 times from in 2015 and 2016 during the growing season. They were taken 20 samples from each plot, homogenized, and we analyzed for soil organic carbon and nitrogen, particulate organic carbon and nitrogen, water extractable organic carbon, soil microbial biomass, and soil pH. And the idea is that starting from 0.4 microbial biomass, the stability kind of tends to increase as you go up, and we wanted to see if that was true in this system. So the indicators looked at, soil organic amount of carbon was a term through combustion of the LECO. It tends to be more slow in terms of responsiveness to management changes. Generally seasonally stable. Particular organic matter was collected by dispersing soil and collecting the sand-sized particles through a sieve, and is considered a more active carbon fraction. So it's often used as that first indicator that things are going to happen in the larger bulk soil carbon levels. And there's water extractable organic matter carbon, and that's really a snapshot of what's kind of soluble right there. It tends to be the most active fraction, and it's mobile and labile. And then I did the kind of classic chloroform fumigation extraction method for the soil microbial biomass. And again, it's kind of used as an early warning or a first indication of what these managed practices are doing. So the statistics I used, I did a proc mix ANOVA for each sampling date, standalone, as if I was only going to sample once. And then also did a mixed repeated measure using spatial power for unequal spacing. So I grouped them all together. I had treatment time and a treatment by time interaction, and a block treatment as a random effect. So I'm going to look at just a couple select rotations. This is the seasonal variability. So on the top graph is the soil organic matter carbon. In dark red is the monoculture soybean. Orange is the corn soybean. Yellow is the wheat soybean. And the green is the soybean wheat with red clover. And in terms of soil organic matter carbon, it's pretty steady, especially in the monoculture soybean. It's quite a bit lower than everything else. And in general, the soybean wheat red clover tends to be the highest. A little interesting in that the soybean wheat in 2016 tended to be more similar to the soybean corn than in 2015. But other than that, it's fairly steady. Alternatively, if you look at the water extractable organic carbon, We weren't able to take the first sampling date. We didn't extract enough liquid, and because we wanted to make sure that we stored the samples the exact same period of time, we didn't want any artifact of the actual extraction process. We didn't use the samples. But over the 8 samples, you see a lot of kind of more wild variation going on between samples. September, for example, they're all very similar. It was just after a dry period. But again, you do see some trends emerging that the monoculture soybean tends to be the lowest, and the soybean wheat red clover tends to be highest. But again, a lot more noise looking at water extractable organic carbon. For the top graph here, this is particular organic matter carbon. Again, you see the similar trends. Monoculture soybean, the red, always the lowest. The highest tends to be the soybean wheat with red clover. And it's pretty consistent between seasons. And then in terms of microbial biomass, we again had an issue with the desiccator and the fumigation technique in this middle point. And because we want to be consistent with our sampling, we didn't use it. But here you can see kind of 2 different examples of variability. Here there's large standard errors within the means, whereas here there's low standard errors, but it's kind of, they're all grouped tight together. And the unfortunate and sad answer is there's really no great time to take this these samples. There's no nice spread in the fall. You see here, nice spread here, but in the fall over here, very tight. And they don't mirror each other. And what I mean by that is here you can see the treatments are very similar here, but they're not similar, so microbial biomass. So if you see nice separation for palm, you won't necessarily see that for microbial biomass or soil organic matter. So that's kind of some of the variability we saw. And what this table shows is that the black dots, the closed black dots, means the model is significant. And so that means there was treatment differences going on. And if it's an open circle, then that means the model is not significant. And the implications here are that other than soil organic matter carbon, there's at least one sampling date where the model was not significant. And if you had gone out for one sample that year, you wouldn't be able to say too much what's going on. And the importance there, if you're looking at soil crop rotations and you're going every 5 years and just going once, there's a risk that you're going to miss out on some more underlying trends that do occur when you take them at repeated measures. So all these models were significant when you combined all the sampling dates together. When you look at them all together, these are all sampled together. What we have here is the different crop rotations, and they're grouped together in their phases. So monoculture soybean, corn soybean wheat red clover, 2-year soybean, and 2-year soybean wheat red clover. What you can see here is that the monoculture soybean really isn't contributing much to the soil at all. It has significantly lower soil organic matter compared to all other rotations. And then you can also see that the soybean wheat plus red clover has by far the highest soil organic matter contribution. And this red clover is only really around for about 4 to 6 months because it's turned down in the fall. So it's a pretty impressive improvement. But again, you can see that 2nd-year soybean brings everything down again. When you compare it to between the 1-year versus 2-year, having a red clover kind of negates that effect. And then corn soybeans kind of in between. The other thing I want to point out is that the lettering between the rotations are all the same. So AA, DD, CD, there's no significant difference between inside the rotations. So what that means, that's no longer a cropping effect, it's now a rotation effect. It doesn't matter if you take it in the corn phase or the soybean phase, the results are now because of the rotation, not because of the crop. And that's nice to see after 15 years. Particulate organic matter follows a very similar pattern as the soil organic matter carbon. Again, you see low monoculture, the highest of the soybean, wheat, red clover, and that decline again when you have that 2nd-year soybean. Soybean really doesn't appear to be very great for the soil in this region. Water extractable organic matter carbon is a slightly different story. Here you can see that there is treatment differences within the rotation, and that kind of makes sense. It's a snapshot of what's going on, and so the actual crop itself is having an effect, and it's not just a rotation effect, it's what crops in the soil or what previous crop was coming in. In the general sense of things, the monoculture soybean again is the lowest, with everything else being fairly higher with the corn and the wheat red clover plus soybean. But again, you do see a slight decline with the 2-year soybeans. Microbial biomass. What we found here, the same old sad story with monoculture soybean being quite a bit lower. Here we see that the corn soybean is now a lot lower than the other treatments, where before it was kind of in the middle ground or comparable. So it doesn't do a lot to contribute to soil microbial biomass. And here it's the wheat that's a bigger effect than the red clover. We're seeing kind of a high increase when you have wheat present rather than the red clover plus wheat. It does help a little bit, but not as much as the wheat. And you see that complete decline, or that pretty distinct decline when you have that second year of soybean. But you don't see that help again with the red clover. So general patterns are kind of similar. Two-year rotations tend to be the highest. Monoculture soybean tends to be the lowest. So when you're thinking about linking these to crop productivity, I just as a visual, I did the 14 years of soybean yields in these phases on the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side, I lined up soil organic matter carbon. And you can see a fairly decent relationship with low yields here, low carbon yield. And this will follow with the palm fraction as well. Decent yields with the higher organic. You see a decline with the lower one. And so you start to think, okay, you start to make linkages between some of these parameters. But then if you include corn soybean, it kind of falls apart a little bit. You see excellent yields with the corn soybeans. So there's more going on than just some of these indicators. There's either something physically happening when you add the residue back, or the nitrogen inputs are stimulating the soybeans. So you got to be careful that there will be some linkages, but there's also more to the story in terms of yields. And another thing to point out, this is the wheat yields, and you see really no response at all. So there might something to think about is that when you want to start linking yield effects to soil biochemical indicators, is choosing the right crop. Soybeans seem to be very responsive to changes in biochemical indicators, whereas wheat, maybe because of the increased inputs, it really doesn't need that effect of the indicators or the soil health components. So to wrap things up, with the exception of soil organic matter carbon, at least one sampling date, the model is not significant. So there's a risk of missing treatment differences if sampling once annually. So I definitely, going forward, would at least sample 2 to 3 times in a season if you really want to make a survey of these indicators. And the seasonal indicators do not always mirror one another. So the unfortunate thing is that palm has great treatment separation, doesn't mean that microbial biomass will. And we did find a time by treatment interaction for some of these samples, and so that also complicates things. The treatments aren't static, and so if you're going to you can't just take it once, because there's potential that the treatments differences actually change. And the take-home in terms of the actual results were that the red clover increase was really a great at improving soil organic matter carbon by 4.7% when you compare it to wheat, soybean without. Having 2 year soybeans versus 3 year soybeans, you increased soil organic matter levels by 6.4 and 4%. Including red clover increased palm seed by 15% when you compared it to the ones without red clover. And again, that second year of soybean brought down everything for the palm by 60% when you compared it to just 2 years one year soybean wheat. And instead of red clover for the microbial biomass, you tend to see an increase with the presence of wheat. For example, it's a 31% increase of microbial biomass with the soybean wheat versus the corn soybean. So something to think about. Thank you. I was hoping to have an amazing answer for you, like October 30th would be the perfect time, but it really kind of varied. The one fall of 2015, there was a nice spread. 2016, there wasn't one. And it's never a satisfying answer. It seems to be taking it multiple times. You can see the trends. There's no real guarantee. I didn't take it in the winter or early spring, so there's potential there. But that was just kind of this is just to see these before we start linking them, how much are they changing over the season? No, they were slightly different. It was a little dry in the spring of 2015 and a little wetter in the fall of 2016, but I couldn't line it up to make sense what we saw. It didn't really line up with precipitation, unfortunately. I was hoping to have a better result, but it just looks like more data is better, which is more work. Yes? Yeah, they could be exactly when you're taking the time when you're comparing wheat or soybean, depending on when tillage loss occurred, it could be changing values. But A lot of times when you take these indicators, people aren't doing bulk density as well. So I wanted to kind of view it as if you're just going to take it as a just en masse. But it definitely, if you want to look at it on a more refined level, then bulk density would be something to consider in looking at it at the actual per like unit volume of it as well. Yes?
So you're going to be able to get the clover quotations into practical
agriculture? Ontario, we're seeing a decline in red clover use, even though it's everything's saying it's great. So we need to sell the economic story, and hopefully one day it'll be used more. But for now, it needs to be sold a little better.
Do you want to open questions? It seems unfair for the last speaker. Yeah. Yeah, time. So
that's great.
Do you do speakers, or do you want to call it over and we'll talk to them individually?
I guess it depends on if you want to say it, open here, that the speakers still here? Yes.
So I was interested in uncertainty and slow respiration.
Is which primer that I use to amplify the endophytes.
So,
bacterial endophytes. So there's a standard, a lot of people do different loci of ribosomal RNA. So the one that I use is a V4 region. So if you Google like a V4 region of ribosomal RNA, so, and also the Earth Microbiome Project, they have like a list of all the primers. So I picked from there. So it's one of the standard primers a lot of people use. The locations.
You had a pot-based system, right?
So it's a high tunnel. So the study was done in Kansas.
Directly in the soil, in the high tunnel.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
So these are we work with the farmers. So these are actual commercial farmers. They're growing tomatoes, grafted tomatoes, for living their life, I guess, right? So we sampled one. It was a destructive sampling. And these are organic farmers. So we do like a destructive sample during the peak harvest season. And characterize the microbes.
So how much variability would there have been in the high tunnel? I mean, did you grow just one thing prior to starting your experiments or even things out, or what was the history of that high tunnel?
So at least in the one site, we have like our farmers growing mostly tomatoes every season, because with the high tunnel you can almost grow continuously. That's the one thing why people like about high tunnel, because you can control the temperatures. So some of the farmers, they have like a cover crop, but pretty much in terms of management, it was similar across different locations. But there was a variations, you know, from one location to another location, because the graph that I show about principal coordinate analysis, right, the variation that is explained by location was the second highest factor. So it's a kind of obvious, right? You kind of expect that soil define the variability in the microbial communities.
What was the modeling technique you used? You showed these structural relationships between the organisms and the functions. I think it was. What was that?
The network models.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the concept that we borrow from social scientists, I guess. If you are like a Facebook has its interactions of, you know, whether people talk with which one, right? The same concept, the node represents the taxa here. And basically, the model that is the relationship that we define between one microbes and another microbes is based on correlations. Because of the metagenomics, you can get like what's the frequency of this particular taxa by sequencing, right? So it's a count data. You can use that count data to build correlation matrix. and it's a pairwise correlations. Is there any relationship between this pair of OTUs of the taxa and whether it's a positively or negatively correlated? So in my pictures that I showed, so basically, you know, it's like you define the correlation between two pair of taxa and based upon their frequency, and it could be either positive or negative correlations. Does that answer?
Are there more questions?
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for watching.